Welcome to the Dysfunction of Evan official audio podcast. DOE is a popular Tom Hiddleston fanfiction on Wattpad.com, written by me, Monet DeLouve. Throughout the podcast, I will be reading each chapter so it can be experienced in audio form. I will speak in a deeper tone for male characters and do an accent for British characters. Please note that I'll not be attempting any other accents. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the fanfiction. A link is provided in the episode information. Also, please consider joining the official group on Facebook, the Dysfunction of Evan Book Club. In the book club, you'll get exclusive story updates as well as bonus content and behind-the-scenes extras. Everything is free, and I will never ask you for any money. To stay updated on this and other projects, please like my page on Facebook, Monet R. DeLouve, Wattpad.com author. You can also find me on Twitter, at Monet R. DeLouve. Without further delay, here is this episode's chapter. Chapter 5. Who am I? Fuck if I know. Look at you, hotshot movie star! She shouted at me as she came out of her front door. Well, I don't know about being a hotshot, I said as she pulled me into a hug. How are you, Ruby? I haven't seen you in ages. I'm just dandy. So excited you decided to spend your day off with me. Ruby was friends with my family. My mom and stepdad had met her online on World of Warcraft. This is Grady, my driver, and Jake, he's my security guy, I said, doing an informal introduction. Nice to meet you, ma'am, Jake said, shaking her hand. Not a hot shot, huh? She said, waving for us to follow her inside. I'd never been to her house, mostly because before now, I'd never been to California. Her house was nice, pretty much what I expected from someone who lived near L.A. So, I thought today we'd have lunch, maybe do some shopping, she said, pulling a pitcher out of the fridge. Well, I don't have any money. My first pay installment went to cover bills while I'm not working my normal job, I said. I sat on a bar stool and leaned on the counter. Jake and Grady sat at the table. Okay, well then, how about I take you to all the tourist sites? She suggested, pulling out glasses from a cupboard. Margarita? Yummy, yes please, I replied. I'd really like to see Mans, the Star Walk, and Dolby, I said. Those are the top of my list. I can do all of those. I know a great place we can get lunch right near everything, she said. Sounds good. I took a sip of the drink she gave me. Let's go out back, she said. I slid off the stool and followed. You can join us if you want, boys. Jake and Grady followed behind. Once outside, I joined Ruby on the cushioned loungers. The boys opted for the deck table and immersed themselves into their phones. I stretched out, fanning my sundress and kicking off my sandals. It felt good to relax. I was used to working 12-hour days, but not in the capacity I had been. It had been a long and busy 2 weeks. It felt like a month had passed by. How are you getting on with your co-stars? Pretty well, actually. I was super nervous, but they just swooped in and demanded friendship, I said with a laugh. Maisie and I have lunch together pretty much every day. Natalie and I usually do dinner together. Liam and I hang out and pal around a lot on set. He's doing a behind-the-scenes vlog for the Blu-ray, so I help him out with that. What about Mr. Tom? She asked in a sultry tone. We get along. We spend a lot of time rehearsing in our set trailer, I said. I didn't know what else to say, because after we spent the night together and he'd admitted his plan to me in the bedroom, he'd backed off. I was starting to think I'd imagined the whole thing, or I would if it weren't for the intense way he looked at me when we were alone. Rehearsing, huh? I've read the book, you know, she said with a smile. We read lines. We talk about our ideas, how to block scenes, then discuss with Ray, our director. We do hang out and watch TV sometimes, but we don't get a lot of free time together. He's also a producer. Aw, that sucks. I'm sure you're excited to get close to him, she winked at me. I laughed nervously. I cried when I met him, I said, taking a large gulp of my drink. You poor thing, she said. I cry when I meet any of the famous people I like. I looked back over at Jake. He can tell you all about my meeting the band he worked for. As soon as they walked in, she cried. It was cute, he stated. not even looking up from his phone. Oh, jeez. Did you cry when you met anyone else in the movie? No, but only because I was so overwhelmed at that point, I didn't have it in me to cry again. I finished my drink. We talked more. I asked how her husband and son were doing. We talked about my family a bit, then headed out for lunch. We took her car and the boys followed in the Suburban. Lunch was a cute little Italian bistro and we sat outside. The oddest part was behind us, there was a poster for the movie and people were noticing me. This is so weird, I said as someone took a picture of me and waved. I waved back with a smile. The movie hasn't even come out yet. The poster was just released 2 days ago. Welcome to the land of fame, Ruby said, taking a bite of her pasta dish. We did the photo shoot for the promo stills over the last weekend. The film was announced late, so everything is rushed. When's the release? At TIFF in October. We finished filming the last week of August, giving Post about a month to edit and finish. We start our press tour in 2 weeks. We interview with Ellen, then go to DramCon in Seattle. After that, we fly out to New York for the Today Show, then to Toledo to finish filming, during which we'll be flying out for various interviews and appearances. I start school on August 27th, so they're trying to squeeze in as many interviews as they can before that, I explained. I thought this was an independent film. Why the press tour? Ruby asked. She was as confused as I was. Studio picked it up just before production started. They told us about the press tour 2 days ago and haven't said anything else. We've got a huge meeting on Friday. Maybe they'll tell us then. I picked at what was left of my salad. Excuse me, are you Ashley Long? The girl that asked me was heavyset and looking between me and the poster. I am, I said, putting down my fork. Oh my God, I'm so excited to meet you. I'm a huge fan of the book, and I'm so excited to see you play Evan, she said, stepping closer. I read the book a few months ago. My therapist suggested it, and I fell in love. I was super worried that they'd get some skinny actress for the movie, but they didn't. You're my hero. I could never be Evan on screen. I stood up and smiled. Thank you. I'm glad you're excited. Can I tell you a secret? I'm terrified of being Evan. I have the book with me. It goes everywhere. Could you sign it for me? She asked, pulling it from her purse. Sure. What's your name? I took the book and pen she handed me. Jolene, she said excitedly. I smiled at her. To my first ever fan, Jolene. Stay beautiful and be the best Evan you can be. Love, Astrid. I said aloud as I wrote. I handed it back to her. Thank you. Thank you so much. She hugged the book to her chest. Would you like a picture? I offered. She lit up. I didn't want to ask, but yes, please. She scuttled over and stood by me. I waved Jake over. This is my security guy. He also doubles as a photographer, I said. Jolene handed him her phone. She stood next to me and I put my arm around her shoulder. Very nice. Here you go, miss, Jake said, handing her back her phone. I will never forget this. Thank you so much, she said. I've got to go and let you get back to your lunch. Hey, before you go, give Jake your email address. I'll see what I can do about maybe getting you a set tour or something. We've got some events coming up at the very least. Maybe I can get you a pass to one of those, I said, sitting back down. You're amazing. She pulled out a pad of paper and wrote down her information. Can I post this photo online? Of course. At me on Twitter. A long journey. I told her. I totally will. Thank you again, she said with a huge smile. She waved as she walked off. That was so cool, I said, giving my attention back to Ruby. Holy crap, I feel awesome. Ruby laughed at me. How is she so excited about me? The movie hasn't even come out yet. For all she knows, I'll suck. You're breaking barriers, Astrid. You are a truly plus-size girl in a role that explores sexuality and mental health. Your character is partnered with a tall, fit, attractive man, and that is never portrayed in entertainment. You are the poster child for change in how female roles are created and cast in film. You are going to be a hero for every person who feels they are too fat to be a leading lady or to be considered sexy or worthy of the attention of the hot guy, Ruby said. You are helping Hollywood evolve. I returned to my trailer that evening and collapsed on my couch. Once Jolene had come up to me, it opened doors for other people to come up. I didn't mind. It was nice to get the attention and hear their support. It gave me a confidence boost. I had been down for maybe 5 minutes when someone knocked on the door. It wasn't Andrea's usual 3-beat knock, so I had to get up and answer it. I opened the door to find Tom standing there with a goofy grin on his face. Hi? I said, unsure of what to make of his expression. I stepped back so he could come in. I thought we might go out tonight, he said. I spent all day out. I'm kind of tired of out, I replied, curling back up on the couch. Yeah, Liam showed me you're all over Twitter, he sat down next to me. What I'm thinking about, though, doesn't involve people, though. You have my attention, Mr. Hiddleston, I said in a deep, playful tone. He gave me an amused look. Liam and Miley have horses and live near the beach. It's pretty quiet where they are, and the beach closes to the public at 6. They invited me over for dinner and horseback riding on the beach, he said. I thought maybe you'd like to go with me. He lightly touched my arm and rubbed it with 2 fingers. It sounds tempting. What are they serving? I asked. Not sure, but I did tell them I was inviting you, and Liam is well aware of your allergies. He tilted his head at me. Please go. Don't make me be a third wheel. Are you asking me out on a date? I am. I smiled. Well, then I guess I had better say yes. Thank you. I'll let them know and I'll come back and get you around 6, he said. I raised my eyebrows. 6. I'll be back around 6, he corrected. I laughed so hard I tipped over. Well, I know it's on your mind, I said when I'd recovered. Well, I'm only human, he said in defense. I'll be back in around 1 hour. He stood up and started for the door. Before he opened it, he turned back to me. Forget something? I asked. He smiled. No, I just like looking at you, he said, sticking his tongue out at me. Jesus, fuck, it was better than the pictures on the internet. I eventually got up and contemplated my clothing choices. I didn't have much, and even less that actually looked good on me. Fashion was not a strong point of mine. I decided I'd have better luck at wardrobe. I'd just trade in what I was currently wearing. I quickly changed into shorts and a t-shirt, grabbed my phone and keys, and headed off. I really liked my golf cart. It was great for getting around the lot. It would have taken me 20 minutes on foot to get to wardrobe. It took 10 with the cart. I arrived and walked in, sundress slung over my arm. Hi, Astrid, Debbie called. She was my favorite person in wardrobe. She was closer to my age and more friendly than the older woman who I'd dealt with. So, I need an outfit. I'm going horseback riding. I don't want pants. I really like full skirts and gypsy tops, I said, handing her my dress. She checked it in and thought for a few moments. Go wait for me in the dressing room, she said as she disappeared into the back. I followed orders and waited. A few minutes later, she came in. I love these types of clothing, but I can't afford them. And when I can, they're never in my size, I told her. I've got something I think you'll like, she said. She held up a really pretty light green full skirt. It was made of layers of muslin and cotton, embroidered with a simple floral design, and had a really nice jagged hemline. Try this on. I slipped off my shorts and tops and shimmied into the skirt. It fit well at my hips and fell to the floor, brushing the tops of my feet. I was in love. Debbie smiled and held out the top she'd brought. It was a tank top with a boxy neckline. It started white and darkened into a forest green color. It had gems throughout that matched the skirt. It was made of a nice floaty material and had a double triangle hemline. I pulled it on. The front and back of the apex of the hemline fell about 2 inches from the top of the skirt, and the two sides floated down to about mid-thigh. As I moved, the sides of the shirt seemed to float along with me. I love this, I said. I spun and felt like a grass fairy dancing around. Debbie handed me a pair of dark green cowboy boots. These will be best for riding. You don't want to slip from the stirrups. And they'll survive getting mucked up as you walk around the stables. She leaned against the wall. Tom was in here not long ago to get some sturdy jeans and boots for riding, she added. Oh, interesting, I said, pulling on the boots. Yeah, I thought so too. She nodded her head. Is he taking you? I'm going over to Liam's. He and Miley are making dinner, and there was some talk of horseback riding on the beach. I said as I gathered my clothing. I'd just wear this out. Debbie wrote down the tag numbers before we went out front. Tom just said he was going riding. Maybe he'll be joining you? The tone of her voice was quizzical. She was on a mission to figure things out. Things I didn't want anyone to know until I had figured them out myself. I smiled as she finished checking out my selection and shrugged my shoulders. Well, have fun, she said as I turned to leave. I'm sure I will, I called out, waving. I returned to my trailer and set to finding some accessories. I brought all my jewelry with me because I loved what I had to choose from. I settled on my long chain pentagram and my Nordic ruin choker, along with my favorite hemp braided bracelet. For good measure, I put on my more subtle emerald ring. I went into the bathroom and put on a small bit of foundation and light green eyeshadow. I carefully applied eyeliner and mascara, then added a light gray to give my eyes a smoky look. The gray made my blue eyes pop, even behind the black frames of my glasses. I added a light brown lipstick just as I heard a knocking on the door. Come in, I shouted. I heard the door open and closed. I'm a bit early, Tom said. I quickly grabbed my phone and my purse, which I hardly used, and went into the main room. No worries, I'm ready, I said. You look lovely. His eyes lit up as he saw me. Really lovely, he said as I moved closer. Thank you. I dipped into a slight curtsy. I tossed my phone into my purse and hung it from my shoulder. Tom grabbed my hand and pulled me close, gazing down at me. This is our first date. As a gentleman, I really shouldn't kiss you until I bring you home. His face was inches from mine. Who said you have to be a gentleman? Oh, I'm going to follow the rules, no matter how much you tempt me to stray. So I shouldn't tempt you. I pressed against him and bit my lower lip. I think I like this flirty side of you. It could be fun to see you try and tempt me into a kiss, especially in the company of others who have no clue that I've made it my mission to pursue you. He nipped the top of my nose. This sounds like a win-win game for you. If you win, you get a kiss. If you lose, you get a kiss. What's in it for me? Besides, of course, the satisfaction of weakening your defenses enough to kiss me in company. I ran my hands up his arms in a teasing fashion. Tom chuckled. I'd think the kiss would be the prize. Oh, but sir, you've kissed me before in not so many innocent ways. Be still, my heart, but I think bringing you to your knees deserves something more. After all, you're a man of determination, one not easily swayed. I did my best impression of an innocent Victorian debutante. Why, my dear lady, I believe you should choose the prize then, if it so suits you, he responded, playing along. The night. You stay here and sleep. My motives are pure, before you think otherwise. The other night was the most peaceful sleep I'd gotten in a long time. I could use another, I said, ending the flirtatious rouse. If things go the way I'd like, you'll have many more peaceful nights, he said with a heart-melting smile. I hope so, I said, and I realized that I really meant it. I really did want to find common ground with him, to be in a place where I could trust him with my heart. I hoped he didn't give up before that happened. I'm sitting in a Jag. Holy shit! It was sleek, black, and sexy. I never thought I'd be in the presence of my dream car, let alone riding in one, with my dream man, no less. Please don't ever wake me from this dream. I was scared to even breathe hard in it. Tom navigated the controls and waved through traffic like a pro. Tom chuckled as I geeked out and took selfies for Facebook. Will you ever take a selfie with me? He asked, glancing over at me. You can show off in a Jag, but you haven't asked to show me off yet. I didn't know I was allowed to,
I said quietly. Why wouldn't you be allowed to? You like your privacy, I said, looking at him. The people close to me take pictures all the time. Some of them even end up on social media. I'm not opposed to being shared with the world, he said, reaching over and grabbing my hand. You prefer discretion, though, I added. A bit, yes. No media shitstorms. I've had enough of that. But you're very special. I don't feel like there's anything to hide with you. He pulled my hand up to his lips and kissed my knuckles. I had a strong feeling he was alluding to his most recent ex-girlfriend, but I didn't want to ask. It wasn't my place to pry.
I think I can trust your judgment.
I run a fan club, I reminded him.
A very sensible one. I trust you.
His lips grazed my knuckles again, and the smile he gave me was intense. Liam and Miley had a house in Malibu that looked like a resort. We pulled up to the house shortly before 7. Liam came out with a huge grin on his face and welcomed us. Hey there, he said as we got out of the car. Nice place, I said, looking around. It's home. We followed him inside through the living room and to the patio. It was a nice little oasis with a beautiful pool and brick barbecue. There were luxurious loungers and chairs set up and a beautiful patio set ready to serve a feast. Tom and I sat next to each other at the table. Howdy, y'all, Miley said, coming from around the corner. She had a cooler full of drinks. Liam took it from her and she came out to where I sat. I'm Miley. She held her hand out. Astrid, it's nice to meet you, I said. It was so weird. I'd watched her since the first season of Hannah Montana. Well, Astrid, welcome. She sat down across from me. Would you like anything to drink? She listed off what they had to offer. I opted for a water. Liam tossed over a couple of bottles, which Tom caught and handed one to me. Are you enjoying yourself? She asked. If you call working 14-hour days fun, sure, I said. I smiled and added, actually, it's a lot better than the job I work back home. I'm really having fun and learning a lot. Sometimes I miss working on camera, she leaned back in her chair, but I prefer singing. The right offer comes along, though. I might do another movie, she looked back at Liam. For now, I'll leave the movie making to him. We chatted about the movie, talked about Miley's upcoming tour, and enjoyed good company. For dinner, Miley ate some vegan dish that looked very unappetizing while the rest of us had steak and grilled veggies. After dinner, Tom helped Liam clean up while Miley and I walked out to the barn. It's been almost 20 years since I've ridden. I took lessons as a kid, but that's pretty much it. Well, if you remember the basics, you'll be golden. Or if you prefer, you can hop on with Tom and let him do all the work. She gave me a side glance. How long have you two been flirting? Is it that obvious? I asked wide-eyed. I noticed you guys kept playing footsie, and I'm sorry, but nobody brushes arms that many times in one meal or gives coy little smiles without something going on, she said. I think it's sweet. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. He could have any woman he wanted. Why me? Maybe it's the way you smile or how the light hits your eyes. Astrid, you're beautiful. And from what I can tell, you're a very genuine person. Lee's a great guy, very friendly, but he doesn't bring just anyone home. So that there tells me you're worth something. Miley said as we arrived at the barn. She unlatched it and opened the door. Still, I feel very unremarkable, I said, following her inside. Well, you're not. I can tell how he looks at you. He's got it bad. Please don't hurt him. I don't know him very well, but he's like a brother to Lee, and that makes him family. I don't want to hurt him. I'm trying to play things cool. He's made it clear what he wants from me, but I want to make sure it's what I want before I give the green light. I know it's selfish. No, it's good. Selfish would be jumping headfirst into it without caring about anything. You'd both end up hurt and hating each other, she said. She walked to his stall and opened it up. Want to ride by yourself? She asked. Does Liam know? I asked. Probably not unless Tom told him, but I don't think he's the type to discuss things like girls do. Ride with Tom, it'll probably blow Liam out of the water, Miley laughed. It would probably blow Tom out of the water, too. Besides, sharing a saddle would be the perfect time to start playing the little game we'd set up. Tom's arms were wrapped around me. He was letting me handle the reins, for the most part. We followed behind Miley and Liam, who were each on their own horse, by a good 10 feet. The sun was setting, throwing brilliant shades of red, pink, and purple across the blue sky and ocean. I could smell the salt in the air, hear the waves crashing and birds chirping. It was the most beautiful experience of my life. The breeze coming off the water was cool, and I was thankful to be surrounded by Tom's warmth. His fingers were interlocked with mine as I held the reins in my lap. Liam had given us an interesting look when he figured out we'd be sharing a horse. Miley just laughed and told him to mind his business. He kept glancing back at us when he thought no one was paying attention to him. "You look so beautiful," Tom whispered in my ear, his lips close enough to brush against it. I leaned back into him to rest my head against his chest. "I wouldn't mind staying like this forever," I said, turning my head to look at him. He was smiling and his eyes were bright. "You win," he whispered as he pressed his lips to mine, his tongue slowly parting mine and slipping into my mouth. This kiss was different from the others. It was tender and gave me chills. This was not a kiss of lust. It was a kiss of love. "To be honest, I wasn't trying very hard," I admitted as our kiss ended. "To be honest, you weakened my defenses just by being near me," he said, trailing small kisses across my jawline. "You'll probably never have to try hard." "You've got me pretty weak too," I said. I craved to turn around and wrap my arms around him. "My walls have a lot of holes since you came into my life." I wasn't ready to give in to him yet. I still didn't know if I was what he thought I was, and I didn't know if he was what I wanted. I knew I didn't need a man to be happy. I was doing a shit job at saving myself, but so far I'd managed. Some help wouldn't be bad, but I didn't need it. That night, we curled up in my bed and just held each other. It felt right being there with him. I fit perfectly against his body, and as I drifted off to sleep, I knew I was going to cave. It was only a matter of time.
I hope you enjoyed this reading of The Dysfunction of Evan. Thank you.